Please turn with me, if you will, as we continue in the Gospel of Mark, to Mark chapter 10. We're looking at verses 13 through 16 this morning. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. You know, I've been giving the disciples a hard time these last few weeks, pointing out their weaknesses and their struggles. Well, it's not going to change today, because the disciples actually represent us as well. We're just like them in so many ways. We don't like complications in life. We don't like too many distractions in life. And we display our dislike for these things in many of the same ways that the disciples have. Through prejudice, through uncertainty, through unwillingness to do things, and just basic silence. Silence is the golden one, to be sure, because if they figured if they were silent, then Jesus wouldn't know what they were thinking. But of course, Jesus blows that out of the water when he asks that typical question of a parent, what were you all talking about back there? Or what were you all talking about when you were coming on the way? You see, he knows. He knows. He knows them. He knows us. But he's trying to get their attention in these ways. He's trying to make sure that they understand that what actually matters. And what actually matters is how they will represent Christ and how they will represent this gospel going forward, especially as he defines what a disciple is. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. We don't often think of those as ways to define a disciple, but how we treat children really goes to defining us as Christians, and we'll see that more this week as well. Now, the problem with the disciples, just like us, because when we're in the midst of being distracted or we're, you know, things are complicated, we don't really listen. We hear the words. In this case, they heard the words that Jesus was saying when he gave those definitions of a true disciple, but they were already following Christ. They had already given up everything as far as they were concerned, so he wasn't really talking about us. He was talking about them and how they need to come up to the mark. Another reason why Jesus teaches the same thing over and over again, so that they will get it, so that we will get it. Vince Lombardi once said, the measure of who we are is what we do with what we have. Now, if you want a more biblical reference, Jesus said, everyone to whom much is given, of him much is required. Now, the disciples have been given much. They've seen much. They've experienced much. But God, in his grace, that is Jesus in his grace, continues to teach them the same lessons, because while they're hearing it, they haven't internalized it all yet. And Jesus uses a tool. He uses children very effectively to get their attention, just like today when we see children and Jesus. Mark 10, 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. He took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Pray with me. Again, Father, We pray that your Spirit would open our hearts and minds to hear your words, the power of your words, not the words of the preacher, but your words, and that our hearts would be convicted likewise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first 12 verses of chapter 10, Mark has recorded for us the hard hearts and the unbiblical thinking of the Pharisees concerning divorce. Jesus, of course, takes that to a different level and says, this was the marriage, and this is how marriage is defined, was the creation ordinance. They wanted to talk about divorce because it was so prevalent even in their age. And it was such an easy escape for men, which also revealed the heart of the Pharisees not to be willing to care for all the flock, because the women and the children were the ones who got caught in the aftermath of divorce. So Jesus teaches on the sanctity of marriage, God's design. Well, now he shares another event where we will see hard hearts and spiritual immaturity again. But it's not the Pharisees this time. It's the disciples. So Jesus has no choice but to correct the disciples for their lack in these two areas, their lack of faith and spiritual maturity, verses 13 and 14. And then he schools them and us on a very simple principle, and that is the kingdom is not earned, the kingdom is given as a gift. So let's begin with Jesus correcting his disciples for their hard-heartedness and spiritual immaturity. And as we sit back, we say, thank God it's not us, right? You know, if you're from a big family, you almost delight in seeing your brothers and sisters get disciplined. So as long as it's not you. Well, the problem is he's talking to us, so don't forget that. Anyway, 13 and 14. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. The text begins by telling us that some parents were bringing, bringing their children to Jesus that he might touch them, that he might bless them. Now, this was a common practice in Judaism. It was a common practice among that people between the time of circumcision or blessing to the time that they become an adult. Any time they had an opportunity to have their children blessed by their favorite rabbi, they would take that opportunity to have that done. So this was not an uncommon practice. What was uncommon was the way the disciples reacted. No blessings are free. Sounds like a Pharisee to me. The master doesn't have time for such as this. He has bigger fish to fry, bigger things to do. They had already forgotten Jesus' teaching on the importance of children and that childlike faith, even though they as well were given faith freely. They had already forgotten how that worked. They were, rather than displaying the gospel, they were displaying the lives and words of the Pharisees who misinterpreted marriage. Here, the disciples are misinterpreting God's grace and God's covenant relationship. Now, rather than calling them Pharisees, maybe they were just upset because being those who actually followed Jesus, they had a perception of a certain amount of authority, and these people didn't come asking for an interview with Jesus, an appointment with Jesus. They just did this without asking them, so they were upset about that. You know, I'm making a lot of qualifications and statements, but these are all things that we deal with, that we've dealt with internally, the pride that we have in ourselves, the pride that we have in our positions, the things that people do that get under our skin. So there's all kinds of reasons why they were not happy with all of this. We've already seen they struggle with wanting position, and we're going to see it again in this particular chapter. So they still haven't gotten that message that their position is not the key to what's going on here. Their status. Jesus brings these children up for a reason to reveal to them it's not your status. That's not what this is about. He says, in fact, if anyone would be first, what did he say? You must be last of all and servant of all. He's clear on these things. They had forgotten that their status and their portion of the kingdom was given to them by Christ's choice. They had forgotten they earned nothing by their good works. It does seem that they saw their duty as what would enable them to become greatest in the kingdom, if you remember that conversation. And we're going to have that conversation again before this chapter's over. Instead of welcoming this distraction, they rebuked the parents. Now, the key word here is they. This is a masculine pronoun. So it wasn't just moms bringing their kids. This was the covenant heads of the household bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus. Parents led by the males, the covenant heads. And so this masculine approach, the disciples knew the children had no status in society, so they were upset that they were bringing them to them. The parents understood that this is where their children needed to be. Jesus had revealed himself as the Messiah. Jesus had revealed himself as loving and caring. He had revealed himself to these covenant heads and this moms and dads, the father, the parents of these. He had revealed himself to be the one that it makes sense to seek a blessing from. Jesus saw what they were doing, and he was indignant. Indignant with his disciples. We don't see that very often. He was indignant with his disciples. He saw what they were doing. And what they were doing was against the gospel. He's immediately indignant because they were acting like Pharisees, which was way below their status as children of God. So in his anger, he seeks to straighten out their actions. And that brings us to his using children again to school them that the kingdom is not earned, but is a gift. Verses 14 through 16. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. There's an issue with the New Testament that most Christians have. See, we look at the Old Testament and we see God commanding us to do certain things. We see God giving us the Ten Commandments. We see him giving us the law. We see his saying, these are the things you must do. We get to the New Testament and Jesus is so loving, he's just giving us suggestions. But Jesus, as God, commands them, let the children come to me. As God, he commands them, do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of God. We have to begin there, because I don't think we put as much emphasis on the word let in the New Testament as a command of God as we do in the Old Testament. But getting back to his indignance with his disciples, I guess he has to get their attention. And so he commands, let them, the children, come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, I am king. I am the king of the kingdom. You may have all these prejudices. You may see these children as nothing but distractions or whatever, but I am the king. and I command you, let them come to me. I command you, do not hinder them. Because as mine, the kingdom belongs to them. Now, does this mean that all children are naturally part of the kingdom? Of course not. The Bible tells us that we're all naturally children of wrath. That we are not kingdom, that we're not children of God in and of ourselves. Now, I've hinted it a couple times at how this explains what Jesus means. First, as I said, they belong to parents who seemingly were sufficiently committed to Jesus. They believed in him. They were bringing their little ones to him in public for a blessing. They are those who had ears to hear already. The new faithful ones, if you will. But on top of that, these children were already children of the covenant by virtue of being born into the covenant home. And the boys especially had been circumcised. The girls had been blessed. And they were being led by a covenant head, the Father. And so they are covenant children. Do the blessings and the graces that come with that. But to these two, that is being born into a covenant home, guarantee that you're automatically in the kingdom. Well, John told us, no. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God and God alone. But they are children of the covenant, and they've been born into a believing home, given the sign and seal of the covenant. So Jesus is speaking of children whose parents are already disciples, who have the intent to disciple their children. The parents know that they must teach these children the covenant, the responsibilities, the privileges of the kingdom. Now, if that child grows up and rejects that covenant, that was God's will as well, but it is the exception to the rule. So Jesus clearly means for them to come to receive his blessing, the blessing of the kingdom from their king. So that's why we apply the sign and seal of the covenant in covenant baptism. From infants to adults. Because God has commanded us to come to him. He's commanded us to bring our children to him to receive the signs and the blessings. That they may grow up to receive the supper as they are soon as spiritually able. Both of these are what is meant by do not hinder these covenant children. But then we also have verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now let's not overthink this. Let's not complicate this simple truth. These children all run up to me after service. They're not afraid of me. They trust that I will accept them, that I will touch them, that is a good thing. Now, I know they're looking forward to the candy that Regina has as well, but even when she's not here, they come up and do that. They trust me. Woe to the person, woe to the adult that breaks that trust in a child. That's why there's so much condemnation surrounding that. But when we think of a childlike faith with adults, woe to that person that goes out of their way to undercut a Christian's faith. They will be rejected. Judgment will fall. But these children, we understand how children are. We put our hand down, we're getting ready to cross the street, and what do they normally do? Now, I know there's difficult kids occasionally, but normally they will grab your hand and hold on to your hand. They'll look up at you, grab your hand, and walk. That's the kind of childlike faith that Jesus is talking about. One that doesn't question God's word, that doesn't question God's law, that doesn't question the gospel. Accepts it without hesitation. Well, kids do that naturally. Well, guess what? Like a child. That's us. That's part of the problem of adults, is that we question everything. We're talking about the 6 days of creation, 24-hour days. We got all these different positions in our denomination. There's so many different positions across the spectrum of the church because we can't take God at his word. Bottom line. We just can't do it. We refuse to do it. Where a child will say, when you say, no, you can't do that. Now, I know when they get older, some of this all falls apart. But you can't do that. Okay. And they move on to the next thing. Usually tearing up something else. But they move on to the next thing. The childlike faith. That's what he's talking about here. Believes God's word without question. That faith that without thinking realizes their need for the king, or our need for the king. So it's required to enter the kingdom. Remember another absolute that Jesus taught. Every time you see the word truly in the New Testament, or truly, truly in John, it's an absolute truth. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again, having a childlike faith, those all go together. Jesus is known for his emphatic statements to make his points. But we must receive the kingdom as a receiving a gift. Who among us would question the sanity of someone willing to give us the greatest need in our life? Who among us would call into question the motive of the giver, especially to their face? You see, children in that culture had no standing. So anything that they received had nothing to do with any particular rights. It had everything to do with it being a gift. And that's Jesus' point. We are children of God. Nothing we receive is based on what we've done. It's a gift from God because we have no rights. That's another thing, especially in America, we forget. The bottom line is this. The kingdom of God is a gift. It cannot be earned. It is not deserved, nor is it, are we entitled to it by right. It is freely given by Christ alone. Since we're still within that Reformation week period, I have to make the statement. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as revealed by the scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. Kind of all ties it together. To the glory of God alone. Christ is the one who gives. He's the one that chooses to give his blessing to these children. These children of the covenant who were brought in faith by their parents to be blessed. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hand upon them. Following the command that he had just said, let not these children be hindered from me. Children, especially the children of believing parents, are not to be hindered, restricted from the blessings of God. As infants, they must receive the sign and seal of the covenant, or as parents, we say they're not worthy. And as parents, when we know that our child is ready to receive the Lord's table, if we keep them from that table, we're saying they're not worthy. That they really don't have a place in the body of Christ, in his family. When we hinder them, we restrict God's blessing. God's blessing on these covenant children. And God absolutely forbids the parents from doing this. See, things were a little uncomfortable a couple weeks ago when we talked about marriage and divorce. This is meant to be uncomfortable as well, because it's not up to us. It's not our decision. We don't know better than God does. God commanded that these blessings be placed on our children. They be placed on all adults that come to faith, and they are to be done. Not to be hindered. And as far as children are concerned, we must remember they are not distractions. They are not complications. They're the ones that keep us connected to the kingdom in so many different ways. Children and Jesus go together like hand in a glove. We best be careful that we do not hinder them from either of the blessings commanded by God to his church. Why? For such belongs the kingdom of God. Pray with me. Father, we rejoice today in your word. Absolute certainty of your commands. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. These commands are foundational for us as your children. We thank you for that continued blessing because of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.